Blog Talk Radio.
President Obama famously promised, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Doesn't that turn out to be just as false, just as misleading as his promise about if you like your plan, you can keep your plan? Isn't it a fact, sir, that most, in fact, of the Obamacare health plans that are being offered on the exchanges exclude a number of doctors and hospitals to lower costs?
The president never said you were going to have unlimited choice of any doctor in the country you want to go to.
Wait, no. He asked a question. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Did he not say that, sir?
He didn't say you can have unlimited choice.
It's a simple yes or no question. Did he say if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor?
Yes, but look, if you want to pay more for an insurance company that covers your doctor, you can do that. This is a matter of choice. We know in all sorts of places you pay more for a wider range of choices or a wider range of benefits. The issue isn't these selective networks. People keep saying, oh, the problem is you're going to have
selective network. Well, if you lose your doctor or you lose your hospital.
Let me just say something. People are going to have a choice as to whether they want to pay a certain amount for a selective network or pay more for a broader network.
Which will mean your premiums will probably go up.
They get that choice. That's a choice
which
we always make.
Which means your premium may go up over what you were paying. So that, in other words,
guaranteed you that your premium wouldn't increase. Premiums have been going up.
The president guaranteed me I could keep my doctor.
Under president, and if you want to, you can pay for it.
Sure.
Under president.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus. Hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind you. He won't have to use our dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door, that's the easy thing to do. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the
two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of the cost. And freedom ain't cheap. Freedom is not cheap, but we can afford it. What we can't afford is tyranny. Tyranny is much more expensive than freedom could ever possibly be. Oh, everybody have a great weekend. I kind of did. I was a little bit under the weather yesterday. It was nice to watch a lot of football in the snow. All that frozen global warming. Ooh, I wonder what Al Gore thought about that. It's even snowing in Australia. They're in the summer. How about that for global warming? Oh, my God almighty. Unbelievable. Well, I just had to play that hippo, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. That was a song I remember when I was a kid. It was hilarious. I found it. I said, I got to play it. And that's right. We are going to be playing Christmas music all throughout the holiday season. So if Christmas offends you, Merry Christmas. You want to request your favorite Christmas song? Either call the captain directly at 646-716-7978. Or you can email the show in the comment section of the website that you are currently on. If I can find it, I will load it, and I will play it. So, we got a lot to do today. So, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of very evil people out there who are trying to take away your freedom. So, let's get this started. Once again, you want to be a part of the program, don't be shy, don't be afraid. Be a part of the solution. 646-716-7978. All right, now, oh, God, I read this story. I think it was Friday afternoon after I got off the air, or it could have been Saturday. I don't remember, but it just sent me through the friggin' roof. I'm sick and tired of this. First of all, this no-tolerance crap, you teachers out there with this no-tolerance for the guns. You can't even draw a gun, use your finger. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. No tolerance is one thing, but no common sense is another. You teachers, you principals are not using common sense. And now you've got your students out there, which I'm going to cover this story, and I'm sorry, but this little tattletale brat that narked on these two boys, which I'm going to cover here in a minute, I'm sorry. This, it's not really so much her fault, but it is her fault because she does know the difference. And she's going to tattle on the wrong person one day, and guess what's going to happen, sweetheart? Well, I'll just leave that to your imagination since you're so smart at 10 years old. But this is exactly what these teachers are doing. They're teaching these kids to be this way, to be tattletales. You have to learn the difference between tattling and reporting. There's a big difference. So here this kid, this happened on October 14th. Why we're just hearing about it now, I don't know. But it was in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, which, I mean, Pennsylvania is becoming more and more communist every day. They've been that way for quite a while. But a little fifth grader, I think it was like 10 or 11 years old, little Johnny Jones asked his teacher for a pencil during class. Oh, I know, that's so good. So, little Johnny Jones walked up to the front of the classroom to retrieve that pencil, and during his walk back to his seat, one of his little buddies, a classmate, a friend of his, held his finger up as if it was an imaginary gun. Excuse me. So Johnny, playfully then, uses his hands to draw the bowstrings of a completely imaginary bow and shot the arrow back. Which, oh God, I mean, that's horrible. I mean, we should cut these little kids' hands off for doing that. Well, seeing this, another girl in class reported to the teacher that the boys were shooting at each other. And this is what I was talking about. This little girl, it may not be all her fault. She's been programmed this way. But, sweetheart, it is your fault. You do know the difference. Somebody's going to tattle on you, and you're going to get into a lot of trouble, and you're going to deserve it. I'm sorry, but this is a lesson for you, little girl. And this is a lesson for all these little kids out there that like to tattle. You have to learn the difference. And teachers, you have to teach your students. And parents, you have to teach your children the difference between tattling and reporting. Now, a 10-year-old kid, 11-year-old kid, I don't care if, even if it's an adult. If he uses his hands to imitate a gun or a bow and arrow, maybe it's just me, but there's no threat. There is no threat. And little girl, what you did was a very bad thing. Very bad. Your teachers taught you how to be this way. Well, you need to learn. You need to learn, sweetheart, what is the difference between tattling and reporting? You were tattling. You are a tattletale. You're going to tattle to the wrong person one day, little girl, and you're going to get yourself into a whole lot of trouble, and you won't be able to get out of it. So I do feel sorry for you on one sense, that you were programmed this way, but I can't feel that much sorry for you. you should have enough to know inside you what is actually a real threat and what is not. At 10 years old, you know the difference between a real gun and a gun that you make with your fingers. And if you don't, well, then you have no business being in the public school. You need to be in a private school where they have certain teachers that deal with certain children that are like that. And little girl, your parents, they need to have a sit-down with you. This is just pathetic. I can't stand this. So anyway, teacher now, who did not see it, by the way, who took another 11-year-old girl's word for it, didn't see the act, but she took 11-year-old girl's word for it. So the teacher then takes the kid out, takes both the kids out back and chews their asses out. Then she calls little Johnny's mother, Beverly Jones, alerting her to the seriousness of the situation. Yeah, that's real serious. 11-year-old faking using an imaginary air bow. That's serious. Oh, my God in heaven, that's terrorism. Maybe we should send these two fifth graders, maybe we should send them to Guantanamo Bay. Well, hell. I mean, if they're going to be that terroristic in school, we should send them to Guantanamo. Yeah, we can teach them how to really hate. They can read the Quran. Oh, yeah. They can even learn to blow themselves up one day. How about that? This teacher and this principal both should be fired and never allowed to teach in another classroom in any state in the United States, period. If it were up to me, which it's not, but if it were, they'd see some jail time. This is nonsense. Enough is enough, people. Tattling is one, porting is another. So anyway, she calls the mother to report, the very seriousness of the situation. Oh, seriousness of the violation. It's a violation. Because the children were using firearms, they say. Firearms in their horseplay and informing her that the matter had been referred to the principal. So then Principal John Horton, I wish I knew the teacher's name. They didn't give the teacher's name in here. But I'd certainly like to have a conversation with this teacher and this principal. I'd like to have them call this program and explain themselves. But see, cowards like that won't bully 11-year-old kid. But they can't have an intelligent conversation with an adult. And they're teaching your kids in school? They're the principal? No, there's no problem there. No problem. So then this principal, John Horton, contacted Miss Beverly Jones in order to inform her that little Johnny's behavior was a serious offense that could result in expulsion under the school's weapons policy. Wow. How many people have ever been killed by an imaginary bow and arrow? How many people have been killed by an imaginary gun? Maybe that's what they ought to give in Chicago. Oh, you remember that city. Yeah, that's the community that our king, he organized that community. Yeah, you know, murder capital of the country, Chicago. Expulsion? I mean, that's a little much, don't you think? Don't you think that's a little much? I think it's a little much. So Horton characterized Johnny's transgression as making a threat. Really, making a threat to another student by using a replica or representation of a firearm through the use of an imaginary bow and arrow. Well, bow and arrow, even a real one, is not a firearm. These teachers don't even know what the frig a firearm is. And yet they're suspending and exposing children from school. They don't even know the difference between a goddamn firearm and a bow and arrow. They're teachers, they're principals. Is anybody in charge of that school district? Parents, you got to stand up to this nonsense. I hope this woman gets a lawyer. I hope they sue the living hell out of these people. This principal and this teacher need to lose their jobs. If the goddamn superintendent of this freaking school district doesn't do anything, at least a goddamn governor can step in. But with the communists they got working in that state, forget it. They're going to support these teachers. Little girl, I'm sorry, but you did a very bad thing. You did not do a good thing. You did a bad thing. You need to know that. You need to learn the difference, sweetheart, between reporting an actual incident and tattletaling. You're going to learn that the hard way one day, sweetheart. You may not be able to get out of that mess you created yourself into, so you need to take this opportunity. First of all, you, little girl, need to apologize to those two boys. And it better be heartfelt. No tolerance is one thing, but no common sense is another. I am sick and tired of this absolute zero common sense that we have in this country. My God in heaven, you're going to kick a kid out of school for drawing a picture of a gun. Remember that one kid, it was like a couple years ago, he drew a picture of his father who was over in Afghanistan. Drew a picture of him with his full body or his helmet. You know, he was a Marine. So he's going to have a helmet. He's going to have a gun. He's going to have all kinds of stuff. He drew a picture. Guess what? He got kicked out of school for drawing a picture of his father, which he hasn't seen in almost a year and a half. Here this little kid is. I think he was like 7 or 8. Drew a picture of his father, which he hadn't seen in over a year. And he gets kicked out of school because his father carries a gun to work. Well, if that father didn't carry his gun to work there, teacher, you wouldn't have a job. You wouldn't have a place to get a job. I mean, I just can't. I have no respect for these teachers and principals that do this shit. Excuse me. Stuff. But enough is enough. There's no excuse for that whatsoever. None. Absolutely none. God almighty. All right. Let me open up my treasure chest here and see if we can plunder for any booty. Oh, my God in heaven, would you look at here? Oh, right off the bat. When presidents go Pelosi. Oh, that ought to be interesting. Good. And idiots who think Pearl Harbor Day is a holiday. You know what? Okay, I got to go into this right now. There's another thing that I read over the weekend. Here they have SpaghettiOs has a cartoon of a little SpaghettiO holding up a flag. And then you have this bar in Chicago near Wrigley Field. It's called, where is that? Murphy's Bleachers Bar. There in Chicago. And it had a big sign up there that said, "Remember Pearl Harbor with bombs and kamikazes." Well, that's the name of drinks. Kamikaze is the name of a drink, and bomb is the name of a drink. Okay, fine. We need to set the record straight here. Pearl Harbor Day is not a day to celebrate. 403 people were killed that day. That is not a day to celebrate! What the hell is the matter with you people? My freaking God! You do not celebrate a day like that. That is not a day to celebrate. That is a day to remember, for Christ's sakes. We still have people in this country living today that were there. You think they celebrate Pearl Harbor Day every year? With bombs and kamikazes and SpaghettiOs? Huh? They're probably doing every goddamn thing they can to forget it. At least we can do is remember it. We do not celebrate it. If we're going to go by that rationale, hell. Why don't we celebrate Gettysburg? We lost 50,000 that weekend. Imagine the kind of party we could throw for 50,000 people dying versus 2,400. Oh, hell. Doesn't anybody have any respect for this country anymore? God almighty. Pearl Harbor Day is not a day to celebrate. It's not a holiday. But see, they think it's just like another holiday like 4th of July. They have no idea that it's actually Independence Day. They have no idea what independence is. Independence? What the hell is that? No. I need to be dependent. I can't be independent. I have to be dependent upon the government. I can't be independent. I can't do this stuff on my own. Well, I used to like SpaghettiOs, and I used to like Campbell's soup. I'm not supporting Campbell's soup, and I suggest you do the same. I'm not buying any more Campbell's soup. No. And then they come up with this apology. Oh, we're sorry. Oh, okay, that makes a difference. No, you're not sorry, because if you were sorry, you never would have done it. No excuse. And you patrons at this Murphy's Bleachers Bar in Chicago, there in Wrigleyville, you need to find another place to patronize. I don't care how big of an apology you give. There's no excuse for that. You do not celebrate a day like Pearl Harbor Day. That's not a day to celebrate. That's a day to remember. Classless, disrespectful, downright just freaking mean. Goddamn believable. You can't make this stuff up. The big question is why? Far too many people, they just simply don't know. And they're teachers. Yeah, you teachers. Yeah. I grew up in the school district, so don't tell me I can't talk about you. Not to mention, I do speak to your students, and they're stupid. They are stupid, stupid kids because you teachers made them that way. It was bad when I was a kid and I was able to recognize it. I grew up in the school district. I've got a long history of nothing but teachers and labor unions in my family. I do know teachers. I do know your mentality. I do know what you say. I know what you talk about. I know how you think. I grew up with them. It's kind of hard not to know how a teacher thinks when you grow up with them. And not all teachers are bad. That's the problem. The good ones, well, we don't know about these good ones. We don't hear about them. Why? Well, because they're in the classroom teaching. They're not outside the classroom protesting. That's why you never hear about them. Can you history teachers learn history before you teach it, please? You don't create history. You report history. You teach it. You don't create it. Oh, look at this. This is some booty right here, boy. This is booty of the week. Hillary Hitman Clinton is tanking in the polls. Oh, dear. Oh, that could be. I wonder why. Maybe Benghazi. Hillary Hitman, you have no chance in hell of becoming president. Don't even think about it. Actually, do think about it, because I'm going to enjoy watching you lose again. You should be in jail, Hillary. There's no way in hell you should be in the White House. You should be in the jailhouse. Oh, look at this. Seymour Hersh alleges Obama administration lied on Syria gas attack. No, Obama, our king, our supreme leader, lie? No, can't have that. He wouldn't do that. No, he's honest. He cares about you. Oh. Well, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. You're just going to have to pay more for it. How about that? Zeke Emanuel. You heard that at the very beginning. I'm not going to play him again because the man just simply makes me sick. And this guy's a doctor. I wonder how good of a doctor this guy really is. I can't imagine him being that good of a doctor. I mean, if you're that delusional, there's no way in hell you could be a good doctor. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work. You cannot be that far away from reality, that out of touch of reality, and be a good doctor. Doctors deal in reality. You can't make up the anatomy. You can't say, well, blood doesn't flow over here. I'm going to have it flow over here now because I don't like the way the blood flows. So we're going to do it this way. You can't do that. You have to deal with reality. Blood flows a certain way. The heart does this. The liver does that. You can't pick and choose how people's organs work. How the hell is this guy a doctor? Don't they have medical boards? Don't they? I mean, don't you have to? Well, I guess isn't there some kind of I don't know a test or something? Don't they have to go aboard a board every once in a while to find out if they're still competent? Don't they have some kind of something like that? If you're going to be that out of touch with reality, you have no business whatsoever being a doctor. I mean, this is just absolutely freaking ridiculous. And, of course, Chris Wallace, I mean, he's a soppy, soupy, gooey little mess. He's afraid to fight. He's afraid to really stand up. Oh, he might question him a little bit, but he lets him go. I would have been all over that guy. There's no way in hell that guy would have got a chance to get out of that studio unscathed. Hell no. I'd have to pick out every one of my teeth out of his ass. No way in hell would I have let him get away with that. But it's Chris Wallace. Can't expect anybody on the right anymore to fight. Oh, well, I might have to actually, put my bag of Cheetos down and get out of my pajamas and go do something, and I can't. I'm sick of the inept people that we have in this country. Nobody's afraid to fight. Why? I don't understand it. Why are so many people in our Congress so afraid to fight? Perhaps maybe they're in on the game? I'd like to know how much money Mr. King and Mr. Boehner and Mr. McCain and O'Connell and all the rest of them, I wonder how much money they're going to be making on Obamacare. What kind of investments do they have with this Obamacare? It's got to be something. They stand to benefit something. That's why they're not fighting to get rid of it. What are they benefiting? What are they getting? Definitely worth some investigation. Definitely worth some investigation. Oh, look at this. Here's a good one. South Carolina sheriff refuses to honor Mandela because he was not an American. You know what? I'm going to have to agree with you, Mr. Sheriff. That flag is to be lowered at half-mast for Americans. I don't care how great of a national, foreign leader you were. I don't care about the great and wonderful things he did. You're not an American. You don't deserve to have that flag flown at half-mast, period. Conversation's over. 70% of California's doctors expected to boycott Obamacare. This is California. I thought California, they were all Obama, Obama, Obama. Uh-oh, trouble in paradise. Now we have an ex-official says the FBI can secretly activate an individual's webcam without the indicator light turning on. Isn't that amazing? That's why I don't have one. I'm afraid of stuff like that. I'm sorry, but I don't put my name into anything over the internet. You never know who the hell's watching. You got to be careful these days. You can't say anything, and that's a shame. You should not have to worry about what you say to who you're saying it to, for whatever. I don't care how disgusting, how vile, how racist, how this, that it is. You're having a private conversation. You should be able to have any kind of conversation you want to. It's called freedom of speech. I'm sorry, but the price of freedom is expensive. But tyranny is a hell of a lot more expensive. So I don't mind. I don't mind what people say. You can go ahead, you can say it. I'm going to criticize it. But you have the right to say it. You have freedom of speech. I do believe in freedom of speech. I believe in freedom. Period. I don't know why that's so threatening. I don't know what about freedom is threatening. Congress races against the deadline. Well, we don't have to really worry about that. I'm more than confident that our Republican leaders are going to drop trowel and surrender again. They won't fight. They have another opportunity. You don't get second opportunities very often in this world. And when you do, you have to take them. Not one. I guarantee you, Boehner will surrender. He'll give in to amnesty. He'll give in to this. See, amnesty's for one reason. And remember when the president said that illegal aliens were not going to be in Obamacare? He's right. They won't be. They're going to be made citizens first, and then they're going to get into Obamacare. Well, maybe we should go get a whole bunch of people and travel to Mexico and protest that government because we want to become Mexican citizens. Wonder how long that would last. Wonder what would happen. Yeah. Pretty sure they'd have their armies. Well, they'd shoot us. We'd all be dead. And those that didn't die would be thrown in one of their jails. But they can do it to us, and then you can have the president of Mexico come in our Congress and our House of Representatives and chastise our government and then get a goddamn standing ovation? Every one of those Democrats, that right there, every one of those Democrats that stood up and gave that man a standing ovation should have immediately lost their job. But that would be responsible. That would mean that we would have to hold people accountable, and we can't do that these days. But we can suspend a 10-year-old kid for using an imaginary bow and arrow. Send them little bastards to Guantanamo. That's where you belong, you little brats. You belong in Gitmo with the rest of the terrorists. How dare you use that little finger gun of yours? Yeah. Jesus God Almighty. I'm sorry. I can't get off that. Those teachers and principals that do that, I'm sorry, but enough is enough. It's going to take, they're going to do that to the wrong student one day, and that father's going to come into the school with a gun. He's going to start blowing kids, start blowing teachers' heads off. Is that what we really have to do in order to get our point across? Or can you teachers and principals start using a little common sense? Let me shoot you, teacher, with a fake bow and arrow and see how hurt you get. And then I'm going to shoot you with a real bow and arrow. Maybe then you might learn the difference between a fake bow and arrow and a real bow and arrow. Is that what I have to do to get my point across to you there, teacher? Huh? How about you, Mr. Principal? Maybe I should shoot you with a real gun. Is that what you want? So you can learn the difference between a gun with your finger and a real gun? Is that what you need to have done to you in order before you can finally get it? A fake gun is not a real gun. Period. It's your fingers. Should we outlaw fingers now? They're going to do this. They're going to do this one day to the wrong. They're going to do it to the wrong parent. I'm going to support that parent. He's going to snap. This is what happens. You can only push people so far for so long, and when they rise up, things get ugly. I don't feel sorry for those people, and I will not feel sorry for you teachers and you principals. You people are not doing your job. You're not doing a good job at all. You're doing a disservice. You're not teaching these kids anything. That's no way to teach. You need to also teach that little brat who reported it. That little girl needs to learn the difference between what is reporting and what is tattletaling. Tattling is not reporting. God damn it. All right. When presidents go Pelosi. Oh, God almighty. This president. I don't know if anybody heard this over the weekend. I think this was on Friday. He gives another one of his addresses. So he's now down in the polls. He's trying to do anything and everything he can now to get any. I mean, it's pathetic. It is pathetic. This administration is so just absolutely pathetic. They are so desperate. They'll do anything they can to get somebody on their side. So what are they doing now? They're trying to extend unemployment insurance. Well, instead of working on unemployment insurance, why don't we work on releasing some of these rules and regulations and fines and penalties and actually allow businesses to conduct business? Just think, if a business is allowed to conduct business, that's what creates jobs, Mr. President, not unemployment insurance. But see, liberals, they only see the superficial side of every issue. They see somebody, well, they don't, they lost their job, they don't have any money. Okay, well, let's just give them money. No. You allow them to get a job by allowing companies, well, to hire. If a company cannot conduct business, what happens? Well, they either go out of business or they go overseas. But that's all the Republicans' fault. How is it the Republicans' fault when the Democrats come up with all these rules and regulations and force these businesses out of the country? How is that Republicans' fault? Oh, that's right. Democrats, you can't blame a Democrat for anything. They're the only ones who care about people. Republicans don't care, but they hate people. Unless you're old and gray-haired and male, they hate you. They hate black people. They hate Asian people. They hate Mexicans. They hate everybody. And hate women. Oh, God. And homosexuals, oh, can't stand them. Unless you're a white, gray-haired male, you are not welcome in the Republican Party. Really? Wow. Well, that's kind of interesting. It's funny how the Tea Party, made up of over 55% women, have a war on women. I find that kind of odd. So our king, our supreme leader on Friday, made his case again, like they do every freaking year around this time. Oh, it's Christmas. Got to give people more money. I'm Santa Claus. Here you are. Well, you're not giving out presents, stocking stuffers. You're giving out coal, Mr. President, and we're sick of it. We don't want coal in our stockings. We want jobs in our stockings. And the only way a government can create jobs is to stay the hell out of the way. And speaking of coal, well, if you're a coal miner, you're unemployed. You're going to have to find another occupation. But where? What? Well, there isn't any. Obama took those away, too. But you can get a job at Wendy's for $15 an hour. $15 an hour to stand there looking stupid. $15 an hour for you to be incompetent. Well, if you like fast food, I do. I don't eat it very much. I love it, but it doesn't love me. It doesn't like me very much, so I can't really eat it. But I do like to eat it every once in a while, and I'll deal with the pain. But it's very, very seldom. Maybe once every year, year and a half. And I can't even remember the last time I had fast food, to be honest with you. I can't remember it. But there's a lot of people that do eat fast food out there. And now they're going to pay $15 for a frickin' Happy Meal? Well, the fast food industry, well, you're going out of business. So all these people who are going to be out there fighting for $15 an hour, the overwhelming vast majority of you are about to lose your job, so you deserve it. So go out there and fight for that $15 an hour so you can get yourself unemployed. Go for it. Go for it. Keep fighting for that $15 an hour. And then when you're unemployed, then what? then what are you going to do? So here we got the president blaming Congress and blaming Republicans why they're not going to extend the unemployment insurance. First of all, we can't afford it. We don't want to extend unemployment insurance. We want to extend jobs. We want to allow businesses actually to hire. We want businesses to actually conduct business. But how can they conduct business when we have people like the EPA swooping in out of the trees with firearms and full body armor? How do you expect these businesses to conduct business? You give them all these penalties, all these fines, you give them this, you give them that. Now, here's another thing. They want everybody to get all these cockamamie Prius cars that run on electricity and I don't know, they got little gerbils and hamsters in there running on a frickin' treadmill. I don't know. But where do you think that electricity comes from? Comes from electricity trees? We hire illegal aliens to go out there and pick the electricity off the electricity trees? Is that how we get electricity? No. Well, we use coal. Imagine that. So all you people out there with your little Prius and your little electric cars, what's going to happen when there's no more electricity? How are you going to drive? Well, you won't. And that's their plan. They don't want cars. Progressivism is not progressive. It's degressive. And that's what they want. Jesus Christ almighty. You know what? Before I get into this, because I've had it this morning. Maybe it's because I had far too many cups of coffee. I don't know, but I'm hot. I'm pissed. So I need to calm down. So we're gonna put an insensitive, racist Christmas break here in the middle here. We're gonna play a song, and since it was snowing all yesterday, and well, it's now raining here now, which sucks. I love the snow. Since it is Christmas, and everybody loves global warming, this is Let It Snow. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping. And I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, let it snow. All the way home I'll be warm. All the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, I'm still goodbying. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow.
Look at this. And nobody died during that Christmas break. Imagine that. Nobody got hurt. Nobody even got offended. How about that? Amazing. This is How do I go into this? See, these people, they've got this idea. They keep talking about income equality and this equality and that equality. Okay, first of all, equality does not mean same. I'm going to say that again because I know if there's a liberal out there that just blew their frickin' brain. Equality, it does not mean same. Let me give you an example. I have 10 oranges in my left hand, and I have 10 apples in my right hand. I have an equal amount of fruit. They are not the same. One is oranges, one is apples. That's the difference. Equality does not mean same. I don't want to be the same as anybody else. What the hell would be the frickin' point? I don't want to be like anybody. I want to be me. I don't want to be the same. Equality does not mean same. But see, you can't tell that to a Democrat. You can't tell that to a liberal. They don't understand that. They've already made it up in their mind that they're right and you're wrong, and that's just the way it is. Even though there is absolutely no evidence to back up anything that a liberal ever tells you. The easiest way to shut a liberal up is asking to prove it. Well, they'll talk a little bit more, but they'll never prove it. They don't have the proof. They can't. There is none. It doesn't exist, except for in their little pea brains. And whatever exists up there can change at any given time. It all depends on who they're talking to and when they're talking to them. Equality does not mean same. There's no way to have income equality. There is no way. That would mean that everybody is going to, whatever job you do, you're going to have to earn X amount of dollars, and that's it. So everybody's going to earn the same amount of money. Well, what do you think of all these people who have to work, you know, a lot harder than other people? You think doctors, you think it's fair for a doctor to earn the same as a fry cook? I mean, I'm just wondering. I'm just curious. All right, let's get into this. And I broke this up into several pieces. I don't want to play it because the guy just it's irritating. But you have to hear what this guy is saying. You got to pay attention to what the hell this president is saying and how far away from. From everything that's happening in this country, he's just in his own little bubble. Mr. President, Democrats, liberals, all of you, it's time to snap out of that bubble. Break out of that bubble, man. It doesn't hurt. I'm outside that bubble. I'm not hurt. I'm not bleeding profusely out of every orifice in my body. It doesn't hurt. Freedom actually feels pretty good. It's kind of addicting. Kind of like crack. You smoke it once, well, you got to have it every day. Well, that's me with freedom. You get a taste of freedom, you got to have it every day. Otherwise, you go into withdrawals. Maybe that's why I'm so pissed off. I'm going through freedom withdrawals. So this is our king, yesterday, our Friday, giving another one of his just absolutely pathetic and disgusting speeches to the nation. So go ahead, cut number one, go.
Hi, everybody. The holiday season is a time for remembering the bonds we share and our obligations to one another as human beings. But right now, more than 1 million of our fellow Americans are poised to lose a vital economic lifeline just a few days after Christmas if Congress doesn't do something about it.
So it's up to Congress now, not up to him to release all the rules and regulations that he circumvented Congress to put to put on these businesses. It's up to Congress. So what he's saying is well, he's talking about the Republicans just to give in to whatever he wants. This man doesn't deal with resistance very well. Well, tyrants never do. That's why they're tyrants. All right, let's go with cut number two, see what this one is.
But we need to do everything we can to help businesses create more good jobs that pay good wages. Even
stay out of the way!
Because the hole that we're still digging out of means that there's still millions of Americans looking for work, often because they've been laid off through no fault of their own.
You! They've been laid off because of you, Mr. President! What are you kidding me? You don't know that Obamacare itself has already lost I don't know how many jobs? How many hours have been cut just simply because of Obamacare? Forget about all the rules and regulations you had the EPA put on all these businesses. Forget about all the rules and regulations that you put on these businesses. Not Congress, which that's their job. See, because, you know, that Commerce Clause in the Constitution, Mr. President? Yeah, the Commerce Clause says that you are to regulate commerce. You don't restrict commerce. You don't mandate commerce. You regulate commerce. In other words, you give the rules and regulations so businesses can conduct business. You don't make rules and regulations restricting business from conducting business. That's not regulating. That's restricting. That's why they lost their job, Mr. President. They lost their job because of you. You circumvented Congress to make sure that these rules and regulations went into place. The coal industry is now dead in this country because of you, Mr. President. Where are these people? Where are they working at now? In Virginia? How the hell did you vote for Terry McAuliffe as your governor? He's part of the people that are taking away your jobs, and you're going to vote this man in? Virginia, you did a bad job. You want to screw your state up, that's fine. But what you don't realize, Virginia, you screwed the rest of the country, too. Well, you want to screw yourself, that's your business. But when you start screwing me, I'm going to start screwing you. That's the way it works in this world. Be careful who you screw, because you never know who's going to screw back. Just a simple phrase. You don't have to take heed if you don't want to. Just an idea. That's all it is. Now, this next clip, this is where presidents go Pelosi.
Economy. Unemployment insurance is one of the most effective ways there is to boost our economy.
Sure
people
is.
People have money to spend on basic necessities. That means more customers for our businesses and ultimately more jobs.
Really? More jobs because of unemployment insurance. How do you figure that, Mr. President? People are not going to be hiring people because people are coming in with unemployment checks. It doesn't work that way, Mr. President. These people are going to be spending less because they're not going to have as much to spend. They're going to be saving that money. Unemployment insurance does not boost the economy. That unemployment insurance is taken out of the economy. If you take 10 away from 10 away from 10, leaves you zero. And then you put 10 back in, now you're still stuck at 10. You didn't increase anything. Unemployment insurance does not boost the economy. Allowing businesses to conduct business, allowing businesses to grow, that's what creates jobs. Businesses grow. What do? Well, they need more people. Well, those people are workers. Those people, the workers, well, they have jobs. Unemployment insurance, Mr. President, does not create or does not boost the economy. This is the kind of stuff that I am just sick and tired of being told. I don't like being lied to like this. And then when I question it, I'm the bad guy? I'm the one who doesn't know anything? No, 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 no. This is the mindset that we have in this country, and there's far too many people that have it. We need to work on that. And again, like I started at the very beginning of the show, we do not. That was, what, 3-4 months ago? All right. I've got to get through this. I've got to get through this. So let's go. Cut number 4. Go ahead. Get this goddamn thing over with.
Economy. Unemployment insurance is one of the most effective ways there is.
Wrong one. 4th one. Cut number 4. Go,
please. The evidence
please.
Shows that unemployment insurance doesn't stop people from trying hard to find work.
Oh,
just
really?
This week, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office predicted that allowing benefits to expire will be a drag on our economic growth next year. A report by the Department of Labor and my Council of Economic Advisors estimated that it could cost businesses 240,000 jobs. And without the ability to feed their families or pay the bills, many people currently looking for work could stop looking for good.
Really, Mr. President? Let's see. Getting unemployment insurance does not stop people from looking for work. Really? We now have 7%, what they consider 7%, which are people that are collecting unemployment insurance. But we still have 91 million people out of work. 91 million people out of work. You do the math. 91 million out of 325 million. What percent number is that, Mr. President? They have stopped looking for work. They have stopped looking for work. That's why we have 91 million people out of work. Would you, Mr. President, put the majority of those people out of work? Not George Bush. You can't blame George Bush for this one, Mr. President. This is all on you. You're the one who put the restrictions on all these companies. So they had to. You're the one who put this, had this Obamacare go through. So now these businesses, they can't conduct business. They can't afford your Obamacare. They can't afford your health insurance plan. It's not even a plan. It's whatever. But they can't afford it. So they have to fire people, have to lay people off, have to lower their hours. But it's all the Republicans' fault. Republicans had nothing to do with Obamacare. And yeah, when you continue to give people unemployment checks, yeah, they are going to not look. He says, well, the evidence doesn't show. We had the CBO. Well, the CBO, first, don't quote me the CBO. Oh, we got our stats. We got our numbers. You don't have numbers. You make them up. People gave up. They're not looking for work. There is no work. How can you look for work when there is no work? How can you be this far away from reality? I don't understand this. How can... I don't know. All right, let's get this last one over with before I projectile vomit all over the goddamn studio.
But now that economic lifeline is in jeopardy, all because Republicans in this Congress,
which Republicans
to be the most unproductive in history, have so far refused to extend it.
The most unproductive Congress in history, really? Well, what exactly is production, Mr. President? What makes something productive? Quality or quantity? So if you have all these pieces of legislation, you have the most legislation in Congress ever. How is that better than, well, a few pieces of legitimate, productive pieces of legislation? That's all they see is the stupid numbers. Well, we pass all this pieces of legislation. Yeah, all that legislation that you passed, Miss Nancy Pelosi, restricted business after business after business after business after business from conducting business. That's not productive. Passing legislation does not mean that you're doing your job. You have to pass quality legislation, meaningful legislation, not just legislation. Christ almighty, anybody can pass anything they want to. If that's the case, what does that mean? I don't like being lied to by these people. I don't like being told that I'm the bad guy when I'm the one who can see. I don't like that. I find that offensive. Mr. President, you are offensive. Every time you open your mouth anymore is offensive. You have to stop offending the American people, Mr. President. Please, I'm begging you. God damn it. All right. I'm going to have to take another Christmas break here before I absolutely go out of my goddamn skin. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. There's enough Christmas songs on planet Earth to keep me from snapping this morning. I mean, I'm just, this stuff is, this is, I mean, the more I think about it, we got little children getting kicked out of school for imaginary bows and arrows. We got little brats that are tattletaling. We got our president out here blaming us for his mistakes. His tyrannical ways, that's our fault. God, I mean, Seymour Hersh alleges Obama administration lied on Syria gas attack. Well, yeah, the government does lie. This is the problem. This is what I don't... Yeah, during the weapons of mass destruction... Whether that was a real lie or not, exactly, I don't know. The intelligence obviously wasn't there, but we do know, and I think it is safe to say, that those weapons that were in Iraq, those weapons of self-destruction, weapons of mass destruction, they were just being funneled through Iraq. They weren't Iraqi. Of course, we didn't find that out till later. I don't understand what the amount of intelligence that we have. We're spying on everybody. Every single human being on planet Earth, our NSA is spying on. Our government does have the right intelligence. We just don't use it. And that's the problem. So Pulitzer Prize winning journalist Seymour Hersh has dropped yet another bombshell allegation. President Obama was not honest with the American people when he blamed Syrian President Bashar al-Assad for a sarin gas attack. Uh-oh. In early September, Secretary of State John Kerry said that the United States had proof that the nerve gas attack was on Assad's orders. Let's find out what kind of proof that really was. Well, we're about to. But in a very long story published Sunday for the London Review of Books, Mr. Hersh, who was best known for his exposés on the cover-ups of the Mylae massacre and the Abu Ghraib, said the administration cherry-picked intelligence, citing conversations with intelligence and military officers. No, this administration cherry-picked? No. They're the most transparent administration in American political history. Come on, Mr. Hersh. A former senior intelligence official told me that the Obama administration had altered the available information in terms of its timing and sequence to enable the president and his advisors to make intelligence retrieved days after the attack look as if it had been picked up and analyzed in real time as the attack was happening. I'm going to have to go ahead and agree with Mr. Hersh on this one. I cannot take this administration, not one person in this entire administration, can I take their word for it? I cannot do it. I don't think I've ever heard one person in this entire administration that has told the truth, other than maybe perhaps giving either the time or the day of the week. The distortion, he said, reminded him of the 1964 Gulf of Tonkin incident, which I think if you look at the evidence, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, there wasn't even a ship. When the Johnson administration reversed the sequence of National Security Agency intercepts to justify one of the early bombings of North Vietnam, which was connected, I do believe, that whole mess, that whole Vietnam, that whole mess, the whole Kennedy assassination, Johnson becoming president, all this Vietnam, that's all in one. That's all one big mess. That was all together. They were all tied in together. Well, that stuff is scary. We don't need that anymore. I think we've grown a little bit from that, but it looks like we're going to go back to that. Is that what we really have to do? I believe in honesty is the best policy. Yes, the government does have to lie in certain. Obviously, you can't let the enemy know what you're doing. Obviously, duh. But you don't have to lie to the American people so you can go to war. War should be the absolute last resort. Or unless you are attacked. If you're attacked, that's a fair game. You got to go back. You got to attack them back. We don't, however, Mr. Panetta, keep our troops on the airfield. It's just not enough time to get there. The attack is going to be over by the time we get there. They're going to waste all this fuel. I mean, it's taco night on the base, you know. Reruns of Murphy Brown are on. I mean, we can't go out and do all this. Nah, don't worry about it. And by the way, those 400 surface-to-air missiles, you know, those are just little bitty bombs. We don't need them. Let Al-Qaeda have them. Four Americans were dead in that attack. But I guess that doesn't mean anything. I mean, there was only four. It wasn't like Pearl Harbor, who had 2,404. Maybe we should throw a party for Benghazi, September 11th. Maybe we should throw a September 11th party now. How about that? I mean, if we can throw Pearl Harbor Day parties and Gettysburg parties, why not September 11th parties? Think about it. Those planes, they were kamikazes. So, hell, let's have a kamikaze tonight in remembrance of September 11th. Don't people, I mean, why would you even think that? I mean, if you did think it, why didn't you go, wait a minute, that's kind of, well, crude, kind of wrong. Maybe I should get rid of that thought. But no, let's get all these letters together and let's go put up a big sign. Celebrate Pearl Harbor Day with bombs and kamikazes. Celebrate September 11th with bombs and kamikazes. God. It's going to be a long time before I have any kind of anything that says Campbell on it. If it says Campbell's on it, I'm not eating it. And I do eat a lot of soup. I like soup. Not anymore. Looks like I'm going to have to buy another brand. That's absolutely ridiculous. I'm sorry. A little SpaghettiO with a big flag. Yeah, that's something to celebrate. 2,400 people killed. That's something to celebrate. Hell. The same official told Mr. Hirsch there was an immense frustration inside the military and intelligence bureaucracy. The guys are throwing their hands in the air saying, how can we help this guy when he and his cronies in the White House make up intelligence as they go along? These are generals. These are people in the military and our intelligence bureaus that are saying, how can we help this president when they keep making up intelligence as they go along? I'm sorry, but I mean, every day, the call for impeachment should get louder and louder and louder. What more do we need? What more do we need to put impeachment hearings on the table here? I mean, look, this isn't has nothing to do. I mean, first of all, I didn't really particularly care for that whole Bill Clinton impeachment thing. I thought that was absolutely ridiculous. There was no excuse for that. I didn't like Bill Clinton. I never trusted him. I never voted him. Never voted for him. I still don't like him. I didn't think he was that good of a president. I still don't. I don't like the man. I don't like what he stands for. I don't like what he believes in. I don't like what he says. I don't like anything that the guy does. But for what he did with Monica Lewinsky, I mean, you would think, though, that being a president of the United States, you'd think you'd be able to get some, you know, a woman, well, a little less fat and maybe a little prettier, a little bit older, since you were like 50-something and she was like 19. But I'm not so sure that that was really grounds for impeachment, though. What him and his fat wife did during Whitewater, well, that shouldn't be for impeachment. That should be for, well, an indictment. I really wasn't pleased with that whole impeachment thing. I thought that was pointless and worthless. This is the time for impeachment. What this president has done, just to the preamble of our Constitution, forget about the body. Forget about the Bill of Rights. Just what he has done, preamble, is grounds for impeachment alone. Then when you get to the body, how he has circumvented Congress time after time after time after time again. And then when you get to the Bill of Rights, oh my God, what First Amendment? What Second Amendment? What Fourth Amendment? We don't have a Bill of Rights anymore. We don't even have a Bill of Right, much less Bill of Rights. For what this man has, the violations that this man has committed against our Constitution, right there, that's grounds. Right there, just that alone is grounds for impeachment. But then when you put Fast and Furious in the mix, and then when you put Benghazi into the mix, which Benghazi, I'm sorry, but there was treasonous activity up and down that entire administration, what happened in Benghazi. I'm not afraid to admit it. And yeah, the word is treason. Unlike our inept Republican Congress, or inept Republicans in Congress, I should have said, I'm not afraid to tell the truth exactly the way it is. And I could care less if you're offended by it. I'm offended by you. Your lies offend me. So how the hell can the truth offend you unless you want it to? The truth does not offend anybody. The truth is the truth. That's it. Then you add IRS. I mean, what is it going to take with this guy? What is it going to take to put some kind of something on the table here and at least try to lasso this guy in from committing more violations against our Constitution, committing more violations against our citizens? Four Americans were killed in Benghazi. That's the ultimate violation that you could possibly commit on somebody, Mr. President, and you allowed it to happen. You went up to bed. But first, you had to have a dinner with Michelle. You can't miss that. She gets grumpy if you don't show up for dinner. She doesn't like that. And, of course, you got that busy day in Vegas. You know, you got that big fundraiser. You're running for re-election. You don't have time for all this embassy, you know, attack and Al-Qaeda. You don't have time for that. Plus, we couldn't have got there in time. What is it going to take? That's what I want to know. What the hell is it going to take for this Congress to put some kind of impeachment? They're afraid. And the only reason why they're afraid is because the color of Mr. Obama's skin. Why should that matter? It certainly didn't matter the color of his skin to get him elected. People were voting for him simply because he was black. So why should it matter what his stupid color is to impeach him? The man has violated our Constitution. The man has violated our civil rights. What is it going to take? What the hell is it going to take to put some kind of proceedings on the table here and at least restrict this president from committing any more treason against this country? What the frig is it going to take? My God, Mr. Boehner, hello, wakey-wakey time. Mr. Boehner,
I'm not going to go there. Bypass it. Forget it.
Maybe I did have too much coffee. I don't know. I'm not in a very good mood today. This stuff doesn't put me in a good mood. And why should I be in a good mood? I want to be. But how can I be in a good mood with this stuff? I can't. Here is what Mr. Hirsch alleges. The Obama administration buried intelligence on the fundamentalist group, rebel group, the Al-Nusra. It was seen, Hirsch says, as an alarming threat by May. The U.S. being aware of Al-Nusra, being aware of an Al-Nusra member able to make and use sarin, and yet the group, associated with the rebel opposition in Syria, was never considered a suspect. Well, why? It was that filmmaker in California. He's the one who did it. Yeah, you know, that same guy that started, you know, created all that mess in the Middle East. Hirsch refers to a top-secret June cable sent to the deputy. There I go again with this broken left-handed tongue. I almost made it. I almost made it throughout one show without tripping over this damn thing. Let me roll it back up, see if I can shove it in the back of my throat so I can quit choking on it. Maybe I might actually spit something out that's intelligible. Hirsch refers to a top-secret June cable sent to the deputy director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, that, said Al Nusra, could acquire a new sarin. But the Office of the Director of National Intelligence and of the Office of the Defense Intelligence Agency could not find the document in question. Where did it go? Where is that document? You know, it's funny how the government just, well, we can't seem to find it. We don't know where it is. You know, you remember Hillary Clinton when she had all of her Whitewater documents? Oh, we don't know. We have no idea. Then they find Vince Foster, gunshot wounds to the back of his head. They committed suicide. Yeah, okay, all right. Oh, look at this. Here's all these redacted forms. Oh, okay. No, there was nothing to see here. There's been a lot of very mysterious deaths associated with the Clintons. That's why I call her Hillary Hitman Clinton. Pretty sure she's calling the shots. This is not a nice woman. She will never be president of this country. So we're not even going to bring her up anymore. Samantha Power, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., told a press conference, it's very important to note that only the Assad regime possesses sarin, and we have no evidence to the opposition otherwise. Of course you don't have any evidence. You don't have any evidence on you because you have it somewhere else. You got rid of it. That's why you don't have the evidence. You got rid of it. That's how they can say it. It's not known whether the highly classified reporting on Al Nusra was made available to the Powers office. Which, of course, you know, that's another thing about this administration. Nobody tells anybody anything. All these so-called supervisors, everybody's in charge of everything, but nobody tells the supervisor anything. How are you supervising them? Nobody talks to the president. They probably didn't even tell him that Benghazi was on fire. So he had no idea. He didn't find out until the next day when it was on the news. Well, first of all, I'd like to know if the president has time to watch the news. The president doesn't have time to be president. President doesn't watch the news. If you're watching the news, Mr. President, you're not doing your job. First of all, that information that's on the news, you should already have before you. But where is it? Well, nobody told me, so I don't know. Well, that excuse is running a little long in the tooth there. That excuse doesn't work anymore. Of course, it never did. But it's time to stop it. The administration was learning about the attack at roughly the same speed civilians were, of course. If it wasn't for MSNBC, this administration, they wouldn't have a clue. They didn't put it on MSNBC. How the hell am I supposed to know what's going on? I'm just the president. He added that there was a revealed a sensor system in Syria that had in December 2012 shown sarin production at the chemical weapons depot arranged by the Syrian army. Though it was unclear whether this was a simulation or not. All militaries, Hirsch says, practice simulations of such things. Yes, we do. I've practiced a lot of different situations like that. And I've even been in a gas chamber. It was tear gas, but let me tell you, that's enough. That's enough. When they make you breathe a lot of it, it's not fun. But this stuff kills, kills, kills. Hirsch says, practice simulations of such things. Obama promptly warned Syria that use of sarin gas would be unacceptable. Well, of course, it's unacceptable to the king. Oh, okay, Obama said it's unacceptable. That means I can't do it. Oh, okay, they'll take your word for it, Mr. Obama. They're afraid of you. Nobody's afraid of you, Mr. Obama.
Not only is the country laughing at you and has no respect for you, but the entire world is laughing at you and has no respect for you. If it was the censors that saw last December was so important that the president had to call and say, knock it off, why didn't the president issue the same warning 3 days before the attack happened in August, he writes. Exactly. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to wait till after it happens. Oh, that's unacceptable. Unacceptable to who? You? I'm kind of glad that we didn't go into Syria. Like, I'm really glad we didn't go into Syria. That would have done a lot of damage. Thank God we finally had a Congress that said, whoa, wait a minute. We had the American people that said, whoa, wait a minute. We need a lot more of that on a daily basis, a second-by-second basis. And now that Zeke, we already went over that at the very beginning. I'm not going to play him again. He just makes me sick to my stomach. And he's a doctor. But here's some of the things. We're going to cover a couple of things that he said. The president never said you were going to have unlimited choice of any doctor in the country you wanted to go to. Well, that's not the issue, Zeke. The idea was to keep your doctor and keep your plan. The idea was to lower insurance. Lower the insurance premiums, not raise them. So now they're saying, well, yeah, you can keep your doctor, but you got to pay for it. Well, no, the president never said, yeah, you can keep your doctor. No one's trying to, you can keep your doctor, but you have to pay for it. He said, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan, period. No one is trying to take that away. Well, you did take it away. And why you did not call him on that, Mr. Wallace? See, that's the thing right there. I'm sick and tired of reporters and politicians who are just simply afraid to fight. People that we need to get out of. We need to get rid of all these reporters that are afraid to fight. They didn't have any trouble fighting George Bush. Why do they have trouble fighting this guy? Well, he's black. We can't do that. He's black. We might look like racists. Really? The black people didn't have any problem fighting George Bush. They could care less about the stupid color. Why should we care about stupid color? It has nothing to do with your stupid color. I don't care if you're 14 shades of titty pink. I don't care what your stupid color is. If you're committing treason against this country, you're lying to this country. You're circumventing our Congress. You are violating every damn word of our Constitution. Your color is meaningless. Your actions are what mean, not your color. Your actions. Or what is what it's about, your actions, not your color. So then he goes on to say, well, he didn't say you could have unlimited choice. Yes, he did. Oh, look at all the great and wonderful choices you got. We got all these great and wonderful plans. But no, you don't have unlimited choice. You have the choice that we give you. Oh, okay. I don't know. But look, if you want to pay more for an insurance company that covers your doctor, you can do that. Yeah, but that completely defeats the whole purpose of this health care plan. This whole health care plan was to get all those people that didn't have insurance into insurance. And those people that did have insurance, they were to get a lower insurance. That was the whole point of overhauling one-sixth of our economy, was to lower health care costs. That's why you campaigned on, Mr. Obama. You campaigned on lowering health care costs. That's what you went out and sold to the American people. They were sold a bill of goods that they were going to get, their health care insurance was going to go down, the price was going to go down, they were going to get more insurance, they were going to keep plan, everything was going to be rosy. Unicorns and rainbows for everybody. But when the truth came out, well, the lies just, and they keep getting bigger. So now he hires old Zeke Emanuel out there to be his little cheerleader. And this guy is talking out of every orifice of his body at once. This guy just cannot stop with the lies. And he's a doctor. Well, I feel sorry for his patients. There's no way in hell, Mr. Emanuel, that you would ever work on me. I don't care if I'm bleeding profusely out of every goddamn vein in my body. You touch me once. No, that's it. No, do not touch me. I'd rather die than have you work on me, Mr. Emanuel. Anybody who's that far away from reality has no business being a doctor, a medical doctor. Medical doctors, they don't deal with the unreality. They deal with the actual real reality. Blood goes from here, it goes up in here and this organ does that, the brain does this. All these little parts do this stuff. You can't make up whatever you want the body to do. That's what they're doing here. Oh, no, the president didn't say that. He actually said this, and he meant that, and he meant this, and do that, and this, and that. And yeah, you can keep your doctor and just pay more. Oh, yeah. We can change any kind of reality we want to. And you want this guy working on you. Well, you deserve anything that happens to you. And first of all, none of this nonsense is true to begin with. You can't keep your doctor, even if you do pay more. This is what Mr. Wallace did not bring up. I don't know why. Well, because he's a bit of a coward. I don't like him. I'm sick of him. He's milk toast. He's mamby-pamby. He's weak. He's pathetic. He needs to go. Fox News, please. Put somebody in there with a set of testicles, please. Preferably ones with a little hair on them. My God. It's time to start turning up the heat. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this slow boil. No. I want a hard boil. You understand me? I want hot. White hot. That's what it needs to be. You cannot keep your doctor if your doctor is not in the Obamacare exchange. If you have to go into the Obamacare exchange because your insurance was canceled, you can't keep your doctor. You can't buy insurance to keep your doctor. Your doctor is not a part of Obamacare. So how are you going to keep your doctor, Mr. Emanuel? And why didn't you ask that question, Mr. Wallace? Guess you didn't think about it? Huh? Doctor's not in the Obamacare exchange. And you are, you can't keep your doctor no matter how much you pay. So they went out and they lied again. And, of course, you know there's a couple people that are going to believe it. None of us are believing it. Mr. Wallace, why you didn't cover him on that? Why you let that guy walk out of your studio unscathed? It's disgusting on your part. I blame you, Mr. Wallace. I blame you for allowing Mr. Emanuel to walk all over you. And to lie repeatedly again and again. If you're going to bring that guy on the show, you're going to have to get into his face. Otherwise, keep him off. Because I'm tired of you bringing people on there like that. And I got to sit there and listen to these people lie to me. I am fed up with it. Fed up. Now we got 70% of California doctors. They're all saying, no, hell no, I'm not signing up for that Obamacare. 70% of doctors in California. California. California's going bankrupt. Now we're going to have to start bailing out all of these cities, all of these states. Well, where's this money coming from? Well, the rich. Well, they're not going to be rich for very long. And they're not going to stand for very long. You can only take so much money out of the rich man's pocket before, well, he can do a lot of damage. The rich man can do a lot of damage. He can close his businesses up. He's still got money in the bank. You got some of these companies that have 2,000, 3,000, even some of them even 10,000 people that work for them. Boeing, well, I don't know how many people work for Boeing. What's going to happen when this government keeps restricting them from conducting business and they just go out of business? Then what? Where are these people going to go to work? Well, we'll just extend the unemployment insurance. That'll boost the economy. Oh, Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, more businesses are going to hire more people because we have all these people on unemployment insurance. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. That'll work just fine. We need some recognition that we're doing a service to the community, but we can't do it for free, doctors are saying. And we can't do it at a loss. No other business would do that. That was the president of the California Medical Association. Think about it. If you owned a business and you had to take a loss every single year, how long do you think you'll stay in business? Independent insurance brokers estimate 70% of California's 104,000 licensed doctors are boycotting the exchange. And good for you, doctors. Good for you. We need a lot more doctors to boycott this. All right. Looks like we got a football update here. We're going to put this right here. We're going to go back to that after here in a couple of minutes. So let's talk to my brother Kurt. Kurt, are you there? And what happened last night? You know what happened? I forgot to cook my lucky chicken dinner. That's why the Seahawks lost.
Nah, they just lost because it was their turn to lose. It's always a split in that division. They split each other every year.
I know, and you were saying that at the very beginning. You were saying at the very beginning, they're going to split, they're going to split. You called it, you called it.
Well, it just happens, and it's no big deal. We playoffs are ours, so we just have to beat the Rams and the Cardinals one more time, and that should be doable.
Yeah, I think so. But I still believe if I would have cooked my chicken dinner, we could have won. But
I was wearing my lucky hat.
It's always that luck, you know, it's always that luckiness, or you didn't sit in the right seat, or you sat wrong, or you had the wrong leg crossed. It's never the fact.
Love that Budweiser commercial. It's only weird if it doesn't work or something like that.
Yeah. That's my point I'm getting at. And, of course, my lucky chicken dinner, it had absolutely nothing to do with it. That's just a game I play with myself. And, you know, but
yeah, you play with yourself a lot, though.
I think I probably should have rephrased that.
Yeah,
but that's
so.
All right. Hey, speaking of St. Louis and Arizona, I missed a score on that. Who won that game?
Oh, Arizona just destroyed them.
Well, I know they were winning by a lot, but I didn't know if it finally ended up.
Arizona's an actual team that snuck up on us.
Yeah, I think they're an actual team, but I don't think they got...
No, they don't have enough to go far.
No. And Gronkowski, yes. I watched Gronkowski last week. He's out for the rest of the season. His knee is shot. I think his ACL is gone. He took a hell of a hit, man.
And
so
he's good, but they got to get rid of him. If he's not going to play, he's always hurt.
Well, all tight ends are always hurt.
Well, they take a beating.
Oh my God!
It's
their
job.
You know when they talk about and I was thinking about this yesterday, watching this. I'm wondering, you know, because the NFL is always working on trying to make it as safe as they possibly can. I think they're doing the best they can. Come on,
That's fine. Good for them.
You know,
I appreciate
that,
but you know, still let them play the game.
Right. But what I'm saying is I'm wondering. Now, when you go up the middle, and you've got these tight ends that go up the middle, as soon as they touch that ball, boom, they've got, you know, at least one or two guys that are coming at full speed and you're getting hit. I'm wondering if there's something that, I mean, how do you rearrange? You need that up the middle kind of to get the quick 5-6 yards. You need that. But, you know what, I guess I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to really put it, but designing a play where they can go up the middle without putting themselves in basically in grave danger. As soon as they touch that ball, boom. You know what I'm
nothing
saying?
You can do. That's just part of the game, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think it. I was going, you know, there's no real way to do it unless you just don't call any plays up the middle. But then what are you going to do? Then you don't have a tight end. You know, I mean.
You can't. Let's not start changing the game, man.
No. No, I was just trying to, you know, figure out a way. Well, maybe, I mean, how do you modify that up the middle play where you don't put your guy into a position? There is no way. There, it's
a cage on him.
That's it. So, but if you're a tight end, you know what the tight end is like because you probably played it in high school and you played it in college and now you're playing it in pro. So if you didn't like the fact that you're going to get hurt, you wouldn't be playing it. So
that's why they're a little bit bigger boys.
And I loved watching almost every game. The first games, where every one of them was in the snow, and I loved it.
That was quite a day, man. Quite a day.
It snowed everywhere.
Did you get your snow?
Well, we got a dusting last night, and it looked pretty for about 5 minutes, and then it was raining like a big flood this morning. Oh man, was it coming down? And cold rain too. Now it's all melted. We got nothing.
We're supposed to get more today and tomorrow. We'll see what happens, though.
It's snowing in Australia. How about that?
Whoa.
For global? Yeah.
You're kidding me? Where? Northern, I assume.
I would imagine. I don't know. I just know it's snowing in Australia. I would imagine probably up in the hills up there, but I didn't even think it snowed in Australia ever.
Me neither. They're about as south as you can get.
I came close to getting there. We were on our way to Australia twice, and we had to turn around and go back up into the Persian Gulf, and I was pissed because I wanted to see Australia. So, but I did go south.
My honeymoon, I wanted to go to Australia, but we, I don't know, got talked into Mexico. Hey, come on, what's that?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I don't know, but if I had my druthers, I'd go to Australia. Absolutely. The only problem I don't like about Australia, they got every snake is poisonous, every bug is poisonous, even their
big.
Oh, everything's yeah. I think even kangaroos are poisonous. I don't know, but I just love the animals that they have there. I would love to see. And when we were on our way to Mombasa, Kenya, one time too, and we had all signed up for a safari, and of course we had to end up going back into the Persian Gulf again, and we were like a day away from Kenya, and I really wanted to go to a safari. I wanted to see the rhinoceroses and the lions. I wanted to see the whole smash, but never happened. So
cool. That's why they have zoos here.
Yep, that's why they have zoos. Yep.
We don't have to run from the beasts.
We've got a family of foxes that live. I live pretty close to a school, walking distance to the school up here, and they live in the back. And so I go up there, and you got to get there early in the morning. And they come out. They can come up a little bit to you, but they don't. They haven't been able to come too close to me, but they don't seem to be all that. They were frightened of me at first, but they kind of got to know me, so they're. I want to be able to pet them. I love foxes. They're cool. They're cool.
Well, I can hand feed my raccoons. They come right up with their little monkey hands and grab the piece of bread out of my hand, nibble it in front of me.
And
it's
you've
really
had
cool.
those. You've had those for years now, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm sure Mama's dead, and these are just the.
No, but
the
I mean you.
And they're...
But you've had them for years, though. At least
oh,
4 or 5 years. Yeah.
They have coyotes too. I don't. Mess with them because they wouldn't come up to me anyways, but got plenty of them out in the park, and of course squirrels and possum.
I don't like possum
little
rats.
Creatures. I don't either. Just a big rat.
Although they do.
But anyways, football. Who plays tonight? It's a good one, I think, isn't it? Cowboys and Chicago.
Yep.
Okay.
Well. Chicago.
Cutler's still out, so.
I got to go Dallas.
Yeah, I think I already did.
Well, there was some upsets yesterday. In the snow, of course, you know, in the snow, it's always 45 to 5 million. I mean, the points just go up, but.
That was amazing. That was some amazing Philadelphia, they measured it at one point in the middle of the field. And one of the guys, the highest point was 8 inches.
Well, it looked like on one end they were at, on the end zone. It looked like about a foot, and he was kicking all the
every
snow
once in a while, watching the guys blow the snow off the lines. You couldn't see their knees.
Well, also the kickers had some problems kicking the.
They wouldn't even let them kick, you know, extra points.
Well, they tried.
Tried
but
once.
They were having all of them were having great difficulties because first of all, they had to clear all the snow away to get the ball on there, and it was so cold it didn't seem to go anywhere, and they were blocking kicks left and right. Even Seattle had got their kicks blocked a couple.
Yeah,
of times.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with snow.
It no. No,
it
was a little.
It was a good day of football, man.
No, and I knew it too. I knew it was going to be a tight game. I knew it was going to be a hard fought game. And you were right. You called it at the beginning of the season that they were going to split. You were right. You were right.
And
so
I'm afraid that St. Louis and well, not so much St. Louis, but Arizona might be a split too.
No. I don't think so. I think
probably not. But I'm telling you, that division splits every year. Doesn't matter who's good, who's bad. Just doesn't matter.
Well, Seattle's. But see, there's always one division, isn't there? One division winner that doesn't get a bye.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think there is
like
because
commissioner deal or something.
No, just because you win your division doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get a bye of the first round of the playoffs.
Well, you can win your division and still be a wild card.
No, you wouldn't be a wild card. No, you just wouldn't get a bye. Seattle's going to get the first week of the playoffs. Seattle's going to get a bye if they keep their record.
If they continue. Yeah, if
right.
they continue.
But if they lose the next two games, they won't get a bye. They're going to have to play. They don't want that. They need to win. They need to make sure that they got home field advantage throughout the playoffs. If they got home field advantage throughout
really
the playoffs, then they'll go to the Super Bowl. But if they got to go traveling all over the place, it may not be. So they need to win these next two games.
Well, that hasn't hurt them. That has not hurt them too bad this year, traveling. So,
no, but playoffs are different. They need to be at home. All
true,
games are there. They need to be at home.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
But
all right, I got to get going. I got to go empty my bowels.
Yeah. Well, that was I'm glad you told me that. I don't think I'd ever been able to continue this day without that information. I'll have to make a note.
I figured
it
would be. Something to talk about on your show.
Oh, it's definitely something to talk about, boy, I tell you. The calls are coming in now.
I'm sure of it.
We got a few minutes left. So anyway, thanks for the update, and we will see you back here on Friday. That is my brother Kurt with the NFL picks. I don't even remember where the hell were we at. Oh, that's right. 70% of California doctors say enrollment doesn't mean access because there aren't enough doctors to take the low rates of Medicaid, warns one health director. There aren't enough primary care physicians, period. How many times did everybody say, not only are you going to lose your doctor, you're going to pay more for it, and there's going to be health care rationing, and there's not going to be enough doctors? How many times was that said over and over and over again since 2007 when this crap first started? Countless. That's how many times. You can't count them. So all you people who thought that this was such a great idea, oh, look at this. We're going to have everything. It's going to be beautiful. There's not going to be any rationing of health care. There's going to be plenty of doctors, really? They're not going into the Obamacare exchanges. I think 100% of doctors, they should go on strike. You want to get fixed? Well, you get rid of Obamacare, we'll get back to work. I would support these doctors. 100% of every single doctor in this country were to walk out the job, I would support you. Walk off the job, doctors. We're not going to fix this problem by trying to make it better, because it's never going to get better. I guarantee you, doctors, you walk off the job, you say no, you boycott, you not only boycott, but you go on strike. I guarantee you, you're going to get the American people on your side. That's what it's going to take. Every single doctor, walk off the job. We're not going to be a doctor anymore until Obamacare is gone. Maybe then we might make some headway. This president, guy here, this tyrant, he'd probably have them all thrown in jail. At least they'd get their point across. Then what would happen? Then we wouldn't have any doctors. We need somebody to stand up, and we need somebody like this, doctors, somebody to stand up and say, we can't have this. I'm sorry that you're going to have to go out and do something like this. All doctors walk out of the hospital. Okay, on the surface, doesn't sound good. A lot of people are going to need a doctor. A lot of people are going to die. But we might get our point across if you threaten it. And good for you, 70% of you doctors in California, good for you. It should be 100%, but good for you. We need more doctors like they have in California, more doctors like that. This is what we need in this country. We need people who are not afraid to fight. We don't need the Mr. Kings and the Mr. McConnells and the Mr. Boehners and the McCains and the Lindsey Grahams and all of them. We don't need those people anymore. They're not working for us. They're working for them. We don't need that anymore. They're not fighting. They're fighting for them, but they're not fighting for us, which is why they were hired to do. That was their job. We hired them to fight for us, but they're not fighting for us. So they need to lose their job, period. And now we got a South Carolina sheriff who refuses to honor Mandela because he was not American, and good for you. Pickens County Sheriff Rick Clark said he will not lower the flag half-staff on his sheriff's office due to Nelson Mandela was not an American. Well, good for you. I agree. If Nelson Mandela, you admired what he did in his country, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with honoring people like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're not an American. That lowering the half-staff, that's for Americans. Not for anybody else but Americans. That's what that flag represents, America. The flag does not represent South Africa. I don't care how good of a leader you are. I don't care how great and wonderful you are. You're fine. Okay, you were a great man. Fine. Whoop-de-doo. You're not an American. You do not deserve to have our flag flown at half staff, period. Every single life that is lost in Afghanistan and Iraq and anywhere, all of our military, the flag should be flown at half staff for every one of those men that dies. And if that means that flag has to be flown at half staff every day, so be it. But that flag should be lowered to half staff for every single military man that dies. You've got people that die in overseas, the military, immediately the flag goes half staff. If we're going to put our boys out there in combat, we need to respect them. We need to respect their job and appreciate what they're doing. They're not slaves. They're not slaves. They're real people. They're fighting for us. We need to give these people a hell of a lot more respect than what we're giving them. We'll respect a South Africa, a former South African president, but we won't respect our own people? I got a problem with that one. A big problem with that one. All right. We are finally at the tail end of this little rodeo this morning. I think we got time for one more song, and that'll be it. We will see you back here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Goodbye, everybody.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. Let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, it's grand. Just holding your hand. We're gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy cozy are we. We're snuggled up together like birds of a feather would be. Let's take the road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. There's a birthday party at the home of Farmer Gray. It'll be the perfect ending of a perfect day. We'll be singing the songs we love to sing without a single stop at the fireplace while we watch the chestnuts pop. There's a happy feeling nothing in the world can buy when they pass around the coffee and the pumpkin pie. It'll nearly be like a picture print by Courier and I. These wonderful things are the things we remember all through our lives. Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting, jingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Let's take the road before us and sing the chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.